Good afternoon and welcome to your extended news at noon. Welcome back to the program. Tracy Morgan on the phone with me is Susan Licata. She's with the Census Bureau. And what an important time to talk about this, because did you forget? Did you fill it out? I mean, is this still going on? So I wanted to bring Susan on to answer some of these questions for us. Susan, thank you for joining me. I do appreciate your time today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to speak with you today.
And so this was on top of mind how many months ago? And then, of course, COVID-19 comes along. And there are so many other things to think about. My question is this still going on? Do we still need to fill out the census?
Yes, absolutely. The census began in the early spring, and the census will continue through September 30th for data collection. So we're really encouraging folks to respond now. If you've not completed your census, either online, by phone, or by returning your paper form, to respond now. It only takes a few minutes of your time, and it is so important to ensure everybody is counted here in the United States.
Now, did I hear news that the census counting was stopped early? Can you respond to that, your thoughts about that, or is this on time? Is this on schedule?
Well, we are moving on schedule. Our operation timeline has shifted a bit due to the pandemic, and that was as a result of our field operations in the early spring. And so to accelerate the completion of the data collection and the apportionment counts to meet our statutory deadline of December 31st, 2020, and that's required by law, our new plan to complete our data collection by September 30th is now in place. And so we are prepared and continue our commitment to complete and conduct an accurate count and the apportionment data while protecting the health and safety of the public and, of course, our workforce.
When you talk about the health and safety, it came to my mind months ago when we talked about this with another representative and we talked about the hiring process to have folks go door to door. Are you doing door to door? How are you handling that to keep both those folks that you're talking to and your employees safe?
Sure. Well, non-response follow-up, and that is the door-to-door phase, is set to begin actually right now. We are just now underway, and that non-response follow-up phase is only for those households that have not yet responded. And so we do remind folks that if you don't wish to have a census taker visit your household to conduct that face-to-face interview, then they certainly can still respond online or by phone or returning their paper form. But should a census taker visit the household, a couple of things to keep in mind. These are local people doing local work. And when we hired, oh gosh, about a half million people back in the late fall and early winter, these were folks right from our own neighborhoods, right from Butler County. And as a matter of fact, in some areas of Butler County, we still have a lot of hiring going on, so we encourage folks, if they're looking for some relevant part-time work, to apply now. We are hiring. And do know that safety is paramount. So all of our census takers, when they visit households, they will be in full PPE, and that includes masks and social distancing as well. And, you know, they are there to be safe and to protect the safety of the respondent as well.
When you say PPE, I picture the photographs we've seen from hospitals where they are from head to toe. What do you mean by full PPE for your workers?
Sure. So they will be wearing masks, of course. They will have hand sanitizer. We do encourage folks when they are responding, if they have their own device, whether that's a laptop or perhaps an iPad or their phone, their smartphone, that they use their own device. We really want to reduce the need to transfer our devices back and forth among people. So that's why that face-to-face interview and verbal response is so important.
So the census response is done online very easily.
One can do it online very, very easily, and that's simply visiting 2020census.gov, and it's one click, and you're well on your way to responding to the census online.
And it doesn't take very long. We've done it. We've completed ours, and it just doesn't take that long at all. So, well, and nowadays, a lot of people have time on their hands. Now would be the best time to go ahead and take care of it and get it out of the way. And we wanted to remind folks that the census is still going on. So if you haven't responded to it, respond to it, or you're going to get a knock on the door. And will your folks, your employees have IDs? How do we identify that this is actually somebody from your office?
Yes, absolutely. That's a great point. And so if a census taker does visit your household, first understand that a census taker will have a valid ID badge, and that includes their photograph and a U.S. Department of Commerce watermark along with an expiration date. It is not easily duplicatable, and we encourage folks, if they have any question, you can go on 2020census.gov, and you can search in the search bar what to look for with a census employee when they visit your household. They'll also have the Census Bureau logo on their equipment, and that includes their device that is a handheld device that they will record the responses, as well as what looks like a messenger bag that will also include the census logo. So we really want to ensure folks are opening the door for the right person, and a census taker will not ask to come into the household. Please do not invite them in, and they will not ask to be invited in as well.
Good point. Thank you for reminding us of that. Let's talk a little bit about the importance of the census. I know that we wonder who is coming to our house and the safety of that, so I'm glad we covered that, but do we really know what the census is about? First of all, this is in the Constitution.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a constitutional mandate, and we've been conducting a census, decennial census, and that's every 10 years of the population of folks in the United States every 10 years since 1790. So even during a pandemic, the count must continue. And the results of the count are so vitally important to each and every one of us. It's how we direct over $675 billion in federal funding every year for the next 10 years. So we don't get a do-over. We do this now. We have through September 30th, and that is money that is allocated from our federal government to our states and from our states through to our counties and then from our counties into our communities. And some of those funds that support the things that we enjoy the most, such as our parks, our roads, our bridges, our infrastructures, but it also supports our schools, our libraries, our healthcare systems, our free medical clinics, our children's health insurance program, the WIC program, SNAP, Meals on Wheels, the list goes on and on, public housing, public transportation, our emergency and protective services. I always like to remind folks that, you know, it's wonderful to go to bed with the peace of mind knowing that our emergency and safety services are properly staffed because we had a very complete and accurate count of our communities so that we have enough safety services to protect us at night. When we're sleeping, we go to bed with that peace of mind. And even our preventative health services. So those are things that we don't always think about when we think of census, but it does affect us. And finally, our congressional district. You have a voice. It's the opportunity to be part of the change, and it is each and every person's right to be counted and to participate in the census if you are living or staying in the United States. So our congressional districts are determined by the population of an area,
and I
our voting district, even
Susan,
the bus stops.
I'm going to interrupt you, and I don't mean to rudely interrupt you. I want to talk about the congressional districts here in just a second. So can I go back to the funding opportunity for just a moment? And not that I would wish any pandemic on anyone, but this year for the census, couldn't this be looked at as the most perfect time to do this? Because if you're talking about schools and libraries and emergency services, they're going to be in great need as we go through the next many months and the next year. I know we're talking about 10 years worth of funding, but doesn't this mean a lot to a community like Butler and the surrounding areas that everyone fills out the census, because that could mean more funding coming in?
Absolutely. The pandemic really does underscore the need for an accurate count of our communities, and as well as any other disasters that occur. Who can predict where an earthquake or a tornado or some other natural disaster may occur as well? So having an accurate count of the population within an area is so important so that services can continue or be added and provided should some of those things occur?
I don't know the history of earthquakes in this area. Tornadoes we have seen in Butler County in our history. We typically don't get hurricanes, but you know, we've gotten floods and natural disasters. So the other elements to our society, like the schools and the libraries and transportation, and again, you have the long, long list, are so important to us that we have to remember the importance of the census and how that connects back to the services that we use. I also, Susan, want to ask you about those congressional districts. Can you explain to us, those of us that don't study the government in and out like some others, what does this mean to us and how can that change?
Well, we don't speculate. We can only go by the data that is collected. So, you know, once we have an accurate count following the decennial census, then those boundaries are drawn. So that's why it is so important, folks. Sometimes think that they only have a voice during election season, but in addition to that, of course, census is a great opportunity to exercise your right to have that voice, because as you mentioned, the seats in Congress and our representation at the federal level is determined by an accurate count of an area.
So we could gain seats, we could lose seats. That's another way that we could look at it.
Correct.
It just depends. It depends on how many. And are you able to keep track, if you will, on how many people have completed the census? And if so, how are we doing? How is Butler County doing? Are we filling this out? Do we still need to work on this?
Sure. Well, the count continues, and yes, you can. By visiting 2020census.gov, there's a menu bar across the top, and on that first click, you will see a drop down that says response rates. And that is a real time data that is updated, of course, and recording the responses of the internet self response. And so Butler County right now is at 73.9%. We're doing well. We're not there yet. We'd love to see 100% participation. And in comparison, Pennsylvania is just a hair above 66%. So Butler County is leading over the state average, but there's still some work to do. And we do have some areas of concern within the county that we need folks to step up. And so right now those areas are primarily around the northern part of the county.
Okay, so you're talking about areas of concern, meaning people have not filled out the census yet.
Correct. They're low response rate. And so that map that is publicly available, the response rate map, again, never can any one person, business, or organization ever be identified. These are by census tracts. So it is a large grouping of households. And those tract areas are easy to identify. They're color-coded, the darker shade of blue, the higher the response rate. So we see response rates that are varied, but we do have, you know, those areas of concern where we need the folks to fill out their census. We want to encourage that self-response because it is contactless, and help folks understand the importance of that information, why that data is so important. And that northern part of the county and the slippery rock area, I know college students, many were displaced due to the pandemic. So we do remind folks that if you were at college but displaced, you still do need to fill out your census and count yourself as if you were at the college, because Census Day, the line in the sand, was April 1st, 2020. So it is where you were living or staying most of the time and as of April 1st, 2020. So even though one may have been displaced or moved back home due to the pandemic, we want families and the students to know they do need to fill out their census and make sure that the student is counted properly.
How does that work with a college? I know you're explaining it to a certain degree, but a lot of folks who are in Butler County that go to Slippery Rock, I can see that because they're still in the county. What if somebody comes from Ohio or Erie or Washington, PA, and they go to Slippery Rock University? Are they counted in on the census as being a Butler County resident or their home area, Erie, Washington, Ohio, wherever they came from?
Sure. So if they're living on campus and, you know, a full-time student living on campus at a dorm, they would be counted at the college. And the college is part of what is called the group quarters count. And so we've been completing our group quarters count of colleges and universities across the country. And we want to twofold. We want to ensure the student is not counted twice, so they are counted at the college if they have lived there throughout the school year. And we want to ensure that they were not counted again at their parents' house if they had moved back home due to the pandemic. Oh, I was going to say, we also want to remind, especially with college students, if they were renting a home that is not owned by the college, then it is their responsibility as well to fill out their census. So, and that would be everybody that is living in that rental property, whether that's one student or a group of students that are renting. It's not the responsibility, whether college or any other renter, it is not the responsibility of the property owner or the landlord to fill out the census on behalf of the tenants. It is everybody's responsibility to fill out their own census.
That's very interesting. You laid out some rules there, some specifics that they would have to follow, but students may only be at the school for 4 years, but yet they're filling out a census that would be a length of 10 years. And it's, right. It's just interesting in how that works. So I appreciate the fact that you're pointing out that students need to make sure that they fill out this census as well. So Northern Butler County, get on it. I can throw
and,
out
and
that
just
challenge.
Have that conversation with your roommate. If you had a roommate, just ask them, hey, did you fill out the census for us or shall I?
Right, there you go. Again, there you go.
Yes. All responses are confidential, private, and protected by law. So, the Census Bureau does not share with anyone. That is a concern that we are asked many, many times. So whether it's a roommate situation, a college situation, or anybody in general, we do not share, not with the IRS, the DMV, the DOJ, with child support services, any law enforcement, any local zoning authorities or housing entities. We just do not share. It is all protected by law.
And Susan, I know I told you I'd keep you no longer than 20 minutes, so we're running out of time. But let me just ask you quickly, what is asked and what is not asked on a census?
Sure. So there are just a handful of two handfuls of questions. And we encourage folks to go online at 2020census.gov. You can preview the questions, and they're very simple. They're not intrusive by any means. It asks you your name, your address in which you live. Do you own or rent or your home? Are you male or female? What is your age? What is your native language? So very simple questions such as that. And it also gives an explanation of why we ask and how we use the data, again, those responses, to determine and shape those services that are coming back into our counties for things that we all rely upon.
So again, Butler County, we're doing well, but we're just not all there yet. So make sure you fill out the census. As Susan indicated, I'll just kind of give that vague number, but it was close to 74%, which means that we still have a lot of work to do. So fill in your census, and time is going to run out, and it's running out very quickly. So that's why we wanted to take time with Susan today to remind you to fill out that census. Before we go, Susan, any final thoughts you want to leave with us today?
Let me remind folks that they can simply go online at 2020census.gov, or they can call their response in. And again, the Census Bureau will not call you for your response unless you leave a callback number and ask to be called. So you can call in at toll-free, 844-330-2020, 844-330-2020. And let me add finally that we have the census available in 12 languages plus English, as well as guidance for an additional 59 languages plus TTY and Braille. So we really want to reduce the barriers for one to respond and really, again, encourage everybody to step up and ensure that they're counted in the 2020 decennial census.
Susan Licata with the U.S. Census Bureau, thank you so much for your time. We do appreciate it.
Thank you.